Baseball. America's game.
Of the most dramatic moments in the history of sports.
It's about connection.
Leaps and makes the catch up against the wall.
And now, with Apple TV Plus, Friday Night Baseball.
She is gone.
Comes home.
Is this happening? It is.
Friday Night Baseball, streaming on Apple TV Plus.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every time we bring that particular open back and we fire it up and use it to start an hour, I think I have to go back and watch that movie. It is definitely on the list of go back and watch this. Now, there was always Star Wars on the go back and watch this list, but this is the time of the year when I don't get to go back and watch anything, really. Do you know, over the course of the spring and the summer, really the summer more than anything, I generally clean off my DVR and catch up on all the shows that I didn't have a chance to finish in the springtime. So, you know, keeping up with some of my favorite serials and big time drama, especially when it comes to spying, law enforcement, FBI stuff, that's the crime dramas. I'm big into those. But I have a few other shows that I really love, although I think I'm outgrowing them. I think I've finally gotten to the point where I'm no longer interested in Grey's Anatomy. I've watched the majority of this show. It's, I think, going into season 18 or 19, and I've finally lost interest. I've got the last like 2 months of it on my DVR, and I'm finally just like, eh, it's, I don't know. They make a lot of political statements with the storylines, and I just, I'm not invested in the characters much anymore, so I think I'm kind of done with that one.
I'll be honest, I did not know that that show was still running live.
It is.
Yeah, I thought people were just obsessed and just kept watching it over and over and over.
No, no. I mean, I have been in that category before. Oh, excuse me.
No touching of the hair or face.
I've been in that position before with Friends because I'll regurgitate those over and over and over again. But no, that's not the case with Grey's Anatomy, though apparently coming up in this 2022-23 season, the lead star, Meredith Grey, Ellen Pompeo, is actually only going to be in a handful of episodes. And 2 years ago, during the pandemic, she spent the entire season lying in a hospital bed because she had long-term COVID. So she really missed a good portion of that season, too. So I don't know. I don't think I'm into it. But that only takes a few episodes off my DVR. My point in sharing all of that is that I expected over the summertime to clean off my DVR. Nope. It's been that kind of a summer where I really haven't had a ton of time, and I've actually watched a few, a few shows on streaming, but my DVR went from being 100% full to being 77% full. I mean, it doesn't, I wasn't
there.
No, but you don't understand. September is when all the shows come back again. And so I just haven't had a chance to clean it off, and I'm trying to watch too many shows, or maybe I need to have more time to sit in front of the TV and be a vegetable, because right now I clearly don't have enough time sitting in front of the TV being a vegetable.
And now we got new shows, like you said, coming out. We started a new show yesterday, which we're going to have to watch at some point again.
Why don't you tell people what show we watched without giving anything away, because there's probably people who haven't watched it yet.
Yes, so we watched, should I say the name?
Yes. How are people going to know? You're going to ask them to guess?
Just being cautious.
All right. You are just so weird when it comes to these things. I tell you not to give anything away, and all of a sudden you have like, bleh, and you just tell everything, but you think somehow giving the name of the show away is
no,
a spoiler?
I don't want spoilers.
Okay. You're so strange.
So we watched Star Wars Andor. It's just called Andor, right? That's the name of it?
Yes.
And I don't know, we watched the first episode. We watched Andor, and the first episode.
Wait, that's my favorite thing ever that you've ever said. We watched Andor and.
Andor and.
We watched Andor, period.
And.
No, just say we watched Andor episode one.
We watched Andor episode one, period.
What were your impressions of Andor episode one, period?
It's kind of dark, to be honest. I enjoyed it. It was definitely a very intriguing and engaging first episode that makes me want to watch more. But for Star Wars, you know, it was definitely a little, you know, Star Wars definitely has their dark moments, but it was like adult Star Wars.
It was a what?
Like adult Star Wars, almost, I felt.
As opposed to child Star Wars?
Sometimes they cater a little bit, I feel like, in
really?
Moments. But this one
Empire Strikes Back, where a man is frozen in carbon freeze for all eternity if he's not rescued by his love? What? I don't understand. What do you mean for those are for kids? People get cut in half with lightsabers? That's for kids?
I just felt like this one, at least this first episode, was just not really any sort of bright moments where always there's kind of that like relief or that.
Isn't that exactly what Obi-Wan was?
Kind of. Obi-Wan was pretty dark, yeah.
Obi-Wan was dark and tense, and I hated it until the very last part.
I loved it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I loved it, but it was, there was no hope in it at all until the very last episode.
Then there's a new hope.
Yeah, so, right, there is a new hope after that. That was impressive, Jay.
Thank you.
So, Andor is set before Rogue One, which if you've seen Rogue One, you also know that it is dark. And the finish to Rogue One, it's been out now for 7-something years, so I'm not giving away any spoilers. But Rogue One is literally one of my all-time favorite Star Wars movies. It's in the top 3. I don't know what I shove out to put Rogue One in there, but I'll tell you what, the battle scene at the end of Rogue One is epic. It's probably one of the best battle scenes you'll see in the entire Star Wars universe. So Andor is one of the main characters in Rogue One, and this is his story leading up to the events of Rogue One. So it's kind of fun how if you're really into this original trilogy, which is Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi, then you're getting these storylines that tie into that. And so it's a nod to Star Wars fans that go way back, I think, even drawing them into a new universe. So we've already watched the first episode. When are we watching the second episode? Why does football have to play every single day of the week?
I know. I would love to watch it, but we got football games tonight. We got the weekend. We got football Sunday.
Meaning Thursday night.
Thursday night football, of course, yes. And then, I mean, I would love to watch it soon. Maybe over the weekend we could find time.
I'm going to watch it without you.
No, you can't do that.
You sleep the entire weekend.
It's a good time to sleep. The only time to sleep.
Well, true, but how am I supposed to get any viewing done if you are sleeping like you're like a moose chunk? His dog is Moose. I call him Moose Chunk. So Moose is an expert sleeper.
Yes, he is. I get it from him. I've learned. Well, I could be in bed and be a moose chunk and a banana slug and still watch the show. I mean, all I gotta do is click play.
Fall asleep.
I would not.
Never.
Never once.
You've never fallen asleep during Star Wars,
no,
ever?
Can't think
ever,
of any time.
Ever? You can't think of any time in the last 24 hours.
Okay.
I think I could think of about 7 or 8 times where either I was privy to it or you told me about it. So don't be a liar. No one likes a liar.
I can't think of any time I've fallen asleep.
Okay. He's lying. Just want you to know. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence and The Liar here on CBS Sports Radio, and we're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. So, yes, Andor is already captivating and capturing our attention. And if you're a Star Wars fan, I highly recommend it because it seems like it's off to a rugged and gritty start. Great storytelling, and that's all I'm going to say. And I'm not going to let producer Jay turn on his mic again because now I feel like he will absolutely spoil it. He's let his guard down. He's feeling all happy. He's learned how to lie. And so we're not going to allow him to give away anything else. No other information about Andor.
That's all I got to say about episode one.
Good, Jay. That's good. You should see his face. He's so proud of himself that he didn't give anything away.
There's still time on the show.
No, there's not time on my show for you to give away any other spoilers. A-Law Radio on Twitter or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And if you missed that conversation with Jade McCarthy, I see some of your reaction. Thank you so much. Jade will be podcasted separately. So you can find our podcast after hours, amylawrence.com. But we also put the link up on both Twitter and Facebook every weekday morning. And by we, I mean producer Jay. But here's the funny part. So this is just a little peek behind the curtain. Every now and then there is a technical malfunction or some type of an issue with the podcast system or the computers here, which are from 1982. So now and then we miss an hour of the podcast or something goes wrong. Who knows? It could be anything, really. The interview's not up or blah, blah, blah. And of course, there are people who religiously listen to the podcast every single day. So they find me or our show Twitter and they let us know. But Jay and I have different sleep schedules. So Jay stays awake in the morning for quite a while, whereas I am generally dead to the world. By the time I get done walking the dog, I have zero energy left. In fact, most of the time Penny is walking me, which is like the blind leading the blind. Actually, she knows where she's going. She just is very slow. She shuffles now. Are we going to have a birthday party for Penny when she turns 13? I feel like any dog that gets to 13 needs to have a party.
I actually don't know when Penny's birthday is. Is it coming up?
It is 6 weeks away. She'll be 13 in 6 weeks.
We can absolutely do something for Penny. It seems appropriate.
Can we? Is Moose Chunk going to come? Is he going to wear a birthday hat?
Is he invited?
Oh my gosh. Between Penny and Moose Chunk and the amount of time they spend sleeping, they would just have their initial hello and that would be it.
That's the party.
That would be the whole.
I
could see Moose Chunk wearing a hat. Penny wouldn't have it, but I could see Moose Chunk wearing a hat.
I have pictures of Moose wearing hats.
That's just wrong. That's wrong.
Why is it wrong?
Why would you put a hat on a dog?
It was actually a Santa hat, I believe.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he loves it. Oh. Halloween costumes.
How do you know he loves it? Bulldog's faces never change.
Actually, yeah, he doesn't really like anything, so he probably hates it.
He loves AC.
Yeah, he loves AC.
He loves his kiddie pool.
That's it. Things that make him cool.
Remind me to tell you about a Pekingese that was on my plane, actually both of my planes with me going to Wisconsin. Wait, I'll tell you that story in a second. But as I was saying about the podcast, every now and then there's a problem. I'm not saying it's a mistake by Jay, just to clarify, but there'll be a problem because of a technical difficulty. And so Jay is not awake until later in the day. He stays awake later. He wakes up later. And people will complain because we have a podcast army who listen, and they want to know where hour one is or where's the interview or where's this or where's that, blah, blah, blah. And so I'll send Jay text messages, and it may take 3-4 hours before I hear back from him.
It may.
Although that happens to you too, right? Because you'll send me a text in the morning, and I'm already out. Yeah. So I don't respond to you either. So, the Pekingese. Wait, is it Pekingese? Pekingese? Pikachu? No, wait, that's...
Pekingese?
No. Pikachu is from... What's that cartoon that Pikachu is from?
Pokemon,
thank you. My nieces loved Pikachu. My younger niece, all she cared about was Pikachu when she was like 2 and 3 years old. Oh, and Dora the Explorer, who's Hispanic. Yep, I love that. Yep. With the talking backpack. My brother and sister-in-law were about to kill me when I gave her a talking backpack for Christmas because she walked around in it for weeks. Backpack, backpack.
That's actually quite the gift. If I was a kid, that's awesome. I would wear that all the time.
Well, I am an awesome auntie. So anyway, there was a Pekingese on my plane in a cat carrier. This poor dog is in a cat carrier. And so I noticed it on the plane, but then had a conversation with the dog mom when we're sitting in the airport in Chicago waiting for our flight to Wisconsin. And she said it's the first time that the dog has flown. So the dog was, she had to buy a seat for the dog in the cat carrier, right? So you pay a full, I can even barely afford a plane ticket for me.
That's crazy.
Much less to pay for a dog, right? So the dog is in the cat carrier, but is allowed to like open up, you know, we're in the terminal, you're allowed to open up the cat carrier or whatever. And the dog came out, like poked his head out, and he was feeling a little happier. But then she put him on our second plane, which was a small jet, poor dog again, shoved back in the cat carrier. And then at the top of the ramp, when you're coming off of that second plane in Wisconsin, the plane was too small to take roller bags. So everyone who had carry-ons had to put them on a cart that was then shoved on the bottom of the plane, right? So she, not only did she have a separate seat for her dog, but then she had to stand there with her dog in a cat carrier for a good 20 minutes while we're waiting for our bags to come off the plane and we pick them up at the top of the jetway. The dog was done. Like, done. Like howling and whining at the top of his lungs. Oh, He'd had it. But if you're a dog, do you really want to be stuck in a cat carrier? It's got to be humiliating as a dog to be in a cat carrier, number one. Number two, this poor dog. She just, I mean, that's a long time to be stuck in that little cat carrier.
Humiliating.
But not just that. I mean, some dogs are crate trained. Penny's crate trained, though. She hasn't been in her crate in years. But some dogs just feel more comfortable. But when she's holding the carrier, right? So it's moving around, and the dog is just pawing at it and wants out. And she tries saying something to him, soothing, and he just whines louder. I felt so bad. I tried to, like, wave at him. That didn't work.
Just pet him. I've never traveled with a pet on a plane.
No, why would you?
It seems like a huge hassle.
Well, not forget the hassle. It's terrifying for the pets.
That's
no?
Of course, yeah.
That's
I would think. Yeah.
People ask me all the time, do I take Penny with me when I fly? Hell no. First of all, I'm not going to cheat and pretend like she's a service dog, because that's what a lot of people do. Yeah. And second of all, if she's so big, she's 70 pounds, I wouldn't pay for a seat for her, but she would have to go underneath the plane. Do you know how terrified my dog would be in a crate underneath the plane that's so loud and there's nobody around that she knows and there's all these strange noises? No, I would never do that to my dog.
Is that still a common thing of dogs going onto the plane like that? I feel like
every single time I fly, I see dogs and sometimes cats.
Yeah, I wouldn't put my dog under the plane.
Wait, did I see a rabbit recently?
Under the plane?
No, not under the plane. No, most people pay for their pets to be on the plane.
Yeah, not under, right?
Right. Well, you pay for a seat if your pet is on the plane. But my dog is too big to be on the plane, so she would have to be under in the belly of the plane, and she would be terrified. She might not recover.
No, yeah, that seems very traumatizing.
I once took her on the train in Boston, the T, and she shoved herself underneath the seat behind my feet. She was so scared.
Really? Just on the T?
On the train, yeah, on the T. So anyway, the poor Pekingese, he'd had enough. He was going to give her a piece of his mind, and it was loud.
Did he get any treats at least out of it?
I have no idea. I just felt so bad for the dog, and so I got my luggage and got the heck out of Dodge. So anyway,
well,
I'm sure there are plenty of people that travel with their pets, and obviously if you can afford it, that's what you want to do. But I felt so bad for this dog because he had clearly reached the end of his ability to cope. Poor thing. And I don't even like that kind of dog. It's just not my kind of dog. But I did actually feel bad for him. I have a cat that's bigger than that dog. Okay, we're going to do our first edition of QB News. We'll call it 1A because there's so much from both the AFC and the NFC that it's time. It's time for us to be able to break it up and get you set for week 3. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the...
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for cloud, data, or web help? There's no tech shortage in the room. The Room is a talent community offering highly skilled, ready-to-work talent when you need it. The Room's tech talent is trained to Silicon Valley standards, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and individually matched to fit your needs. find top-tier tech talent fast. Just like the kind of people who develop this cool streaming app you're on right now. Visit trytheroom.com/tech.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The After Hours Podcast.
Murray back to throw, and it is it tossed? Oh my goodness, it's tossed! DeAndre Hopkins caught it!
Back from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp got it! Touchdown, LA!
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
got it!
Yeah.
Touchdown! Joe Burrow and the Bengals!
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught! Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hand off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it. End zone, touchdown! Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
We are set for week 3 in the NFL. Will it be able to top week number 2 with all of the fantastic finishes, wild and wacky and wonderful and weird outcomes? Just had the chance to watch the end of Browns Jets from Cleveland, which was, I still say, the biggest stunner of week number 2. Watching it again, even though I knew what happened, I still honestly can't believe that it transpired the way that it did for both the Jets and the Browns, but Cleveland has got to move on. And in fact, it's a quick turnaround for the Browns as they host division rival Pittsburgh to kick off week 3 on Thursday Night Football. And Jacoby Brissett said they had to flush it immediately.
We have no time for any focus on anything else but the Steelers. And I think the players understand that. I think the coaches understand it. I think that was the standard when we walked into this building on Monday, that we're on to the Steelers, and looking forward to it.
It's an opportunity for them to right the ship and get their second win of the year. Still emotional and painful. And Pittsburgh, while it wasn't as dramatic and drastic, loses at home to the New England Patriots in an opportunity to protect their, I almost said Heinz Field, to protect their home field advantage and get a victory over an AFC opponent. Instead, the offense stagnant again. Mitchell Trubisky is the starter, though the chants for Kenny were heard at the Steelers game on Sunday. And there's been questions about how do you get more aggressive, open up the offense, look downfield, stretch out the plays, find some chunk yardage. And in the comments from Mitchell Trubisky, hey, he's talking about how, yeah, we want to do that. We want to look downfield. But the criticism, a lot of it has been about the offensive play calling with coordinator Matt Canada. And then this little gem, rookie wide receiver George Pickens actually said to the media on Wednesday that against the Patriots, he was open 90% of the time, meaning I'm doing my job, but the quarterback or the play callers are not doing theirs. Yeah, he said he was open 90% of the time. So George Pickens was asked to clarify when reporters got to him.
I mean, I feel like everybody is too, so that's why I was like, it's not just me. I feel like everybody is feeling, you know, they're getting to the right spots as well. They're getting it correct up, so it's not just me. I feel like literally everybody on the team.
Following up on Joe's question about George, he estimated he was running free 90% of the time. Is that overestimation on his point, or is there anything to that?
I respect your question, but I'm going to let that one lay.
Matt Canada was also asked about George's comments. I can imagine that the rookies 90% of the time comment and the follow-up with how every wide receiver is open did not sit well with Mike Tomlin or Matt Canada or any of the coaching staff. Rookies, welcome to the NFL. Welcome to the Pittsburgh Steelers, George Pickens.
Boy, you better knuckle up.
Oh, dear. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So that's what happens to kick off week three in the NFL. These two rivals who are both looking for win number two. And it's been a bit of a rocky start. Definitely a rocky week two. Staying inside the AFC North, well, Joe Burrow doesn't have a win like the rest of the division. Nope, the Bengals, who are the defending AFC champs, are 0-2, and their losses have been largely because Joe Burrow is under siege. 13 sacks in the first two games. And the Bengals are I think, a huge surprise to start the year, but also getting criticized. Everything from the offense to the restructuring of that O-line that's not working out. I mean, when you're 0-2 and you don't meet expectations, people tend to pile on. Right, Joe Burrow?
I don't have Twitter or Instagram right now, so I've seen none of it. We're focused on what's going on in there. I'm sure it's not a very good reaction, but I think it'll be a different reaction as we get going here.
I wish I had the luxury of deleting both Twitter and Facebook. I would do it, but we're required to have it for work. So Joe Burrow is done with social media on his phone, at least for now. We'll see. I mean, it's funny how people delete these apps or log out, delete their accounts when things go horribly wrong, right? Not when everyone's praising them. So the Bengals this weekend are on the road at the New York Jets. Oh dear, beware. Meanwhile, the Baltimore Ravens, who were also victim to a stunning and surprising and improbable late game rally at the hands of the Miami Dolphins, they have the New England Patriots in their sights in week number three. So Mac Jones, he was watching. Kind of watching, not really. Went back and watched the Ravens give up 28 points in the fourth quarter to Miami.
I think their defense is really good. They always have been. I think that was an interesting game for sure, but it was just a few plays. But they did a really good job in their first two games overall. And like I said, the players are there. The scheme is there. Obviously, kind of a new scheme-ish. So they're trying to learn it, trying to communicate it with each other, you can tell. But really, really good players, ball hawks in the secondary, and a good up front, good at linebacker. So definitely have our plate full.
I love how he said it was just a couple of plays. I mean, a couple being six touchdown passes by Tua Tagovailoa, but four of them in the fourth quarter, and he had nearly 200 yards passing. Yeah, that's a couple of plays, to be sure. But generous comments from Mac Jones as they get set to face the Ravens defense. This game is taking place at Gillette Stadium. As for Bill Belichick, I mean, it's still Lamar Jackson, and he's answered all the questions and all the critics.
It's the type of player that's a MVP type of candidate. So I think he's more than answered him. But if we see what his contract is, that'll answer him.
Ooh, love the sarcasm from Bill Belichick. Let's see what his contract is.
Oh, my God.
That'll answer the questions. So, yes, Ravens Patriots coming up at Foxborough on Sunday. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. How about the Kansas City Chiefs now at 2-0, and they've looked pretty good so far. Well, this weekend, they get a break from the AFC West. Instead, hit the road to take on the 0-2 Colts, who have to be extremely frustrated. But the Chiefs will not look at them as a cream puff.
The Colts are a great football team. I think all of us understand that. If you look at their roster, they have playmakers everywhere, guys that made plays in this league for a long time. And we understand how tough of an opponent it's going to be. So we're not looking ahead at anything. We're looking straight at the Colts and know it's going to be a tough matchup for us to go to Indy in their home opener and try to find a way to get a win.
Patrick Mahomes had a more inconsistent performance in week number two against the Chargers, but that's how it's going to be in the AFC West. So I can imagine these teams, when they get a reprieve from facing each other and beating each other up, are okay with that. But yeah, the Colts probably have looked the worst among any of the teams that we've seen so far. I mean, they were shut out by the Jacksonville Jaguars last week. And so who knows what's going on with them, but they better right that ship really quickly. Now, the Raiders are also 0-2, and so far at this point, we've seen them lose in a tight battle with the Chargers, but we also saw them give up the ghost and lose in overtime in a stunner to the Arizona Cardinals. By the way, the Rams play the Cardinals this week. But back to the Raiders. So the Raiders are 0-2, and they will be on the road in Nashville to take on the 0-2 Titans. You know, coming from two different directions, but man, you want to talk about desperation.
If I'm honest, the way that Josh and everyone in this building has like made it, like our mindsets and the way we do it is we win or lose, it's going to hurt. We're going to correct it and we're going to work. And it's like even on good days at camp, like bad days at camp, we came in and did the same thing every day. So like he really tries to make it because he's played and, he's coached in some of the biggest games. He's been around it that he knows that that's the process on how to do it. And so he's just teaching us that, you know, there's no heightened sense in it. It should always be heightened.
Derek Carr, Josh McDaniels, still trying to get to know each other and communicating a lot, but a bit of a frustrating start, to be sure. Now, the defense is much improved. We know that's the case. Can they go into Nashville and play that tough, physical style of game that will kind of serve notice that 0-2 is not exactly what it says that they are. Although I don't want to be a hypocrite. You are what your record says you are. It's just not every 0-2 team is created equal. Not every 2-0 team is created equal. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Nor is every 1-1 team created equal. Lot of questions about the matchup of Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson. The Broncos have definitely not found their offensive rhythm, but they better get it together quickly because coming up in Denver on Sunday night, it's the San Francisco 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo as the starting QB against those Denver Broncos. And there may be even louder boos if the Broncos can't put a better product on the field come week number 3. And Russell Wilson is eternally optimistic, and he thinks the offense is on the cusp.
I've been fortunate to, you know, score a lot of touchdowns in the red zone and everything else. It's just there's moments and there's plays that, you know, that are just miraculous plays. There's plays that are just your easy ones. You walk in or whatever, the guy's wide open. There's plays that are contested, and we've had a lot of contested ones. We just barely, you know, didn't get in there here or there. So I'm not concerned. I'm actually really excited because, you know, I think that where we can go, if we just fine tune that little piece and make him that one or two plays here or there every game. I always call them game altering plays. I mean, it makes a massive difference in the games.
Well, and if you're not scoring and you're punting more than you're moving downfield into the red zone, or you're making questionable decisions about clock management and in close and late situations, well, you really can't afford to waste any of these opportunities. You got to make the most of them because they're not nearly as many getting up and down the field. Yeah, lots of questions already about what the Broncos did in the offseason and how it's playing out on the field. Also in the AFC West, we know the Chargers were concerned about their quarterback. Justin Herbert suffered a rib injury, against the Chiefs in week number 2. Now, he was on the practice field, though when reporters were watching on Wednesday, he did not throw the football at all. Brandon Staley has an update on his gangsta QB.
Justin is day-to-day. I think he's gotten a lot of rest since the last game. But I think the nature of the week is it's truly going to be case by case, day by day basis. I know that he's feeling more comfortable. I know that he was able to do some light throwing yesterday, some rotational work. But we're just going to take it day by day and see where his comfort level is and truly trust him and let him kind of be the guide of where we're at and make sure we're prepared either way.
So the Chargers will play the Jaguars this weekend. Now, maybe you think that's an automatic win. I would caution against that in the NFL. Trevor Lawrence is coming off his best game as a pro. Do you remember his numbers against the Colts? 25 of 30, 235 yards, 2 touchdowns. They were 6 of 15 on third down, and there were no turnovers by that Jaguars offense. Lawrence may be finding his groove in week number 2. And who inspired him when he was growing up?
I grew up a big Peyton Manning fan, so he was...
he was out of college by the time I really was, you know, knew what was going on football wise. But so I watched him in the NFL. That's like the one guy I really watched. So I love watching him when he was with the Colts and the Broncos, all that.
I'm excited to see him develop more under Doug Peterson. Obviously, there were some growing pains last year, but I think the deeper they get into the season, if they continue to be competitive, more and more people will point to Urban Meyer and how that stunted the development of Trevor Lawrence more than it aided it. But if nothing else, he has a year under his belt of reps and being in the arena and being out there with adversity and recognizing the speed of the NFL too and how things change when you get into a league where the defenders are gigantic and are ready to crush you.
Hey, yeah. Guys, check it out. Just made my first TikTok.
Oh, hi, Peyton. I wonder, Monday Night Football, which is Dallas, New York, do you think we're going to get the Monday Night Mannings? Oh, yeah, because that's Eli's team.
When those guys are on, I do watch Monday Night Football.
Yeah, me too, actually. I love the Monday Night Mannings. Okay, that's your AFC edition of QB News. We'll have the NFC to come next hour. No shortage of storylines ever, and we're obsessed with our quarterbacks, obvi. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the app. Baseball, America's game. It's about connection.
Leaps and makes the catch up against the wall.
And now, with Apple TV Plus, Friday Night Baseball.
She is gone.
Comes home.
Hey, is this happening? It is.
Friday Night Baseball, streaming on Apple TV Plus.
Odyssey knows that football fans can't get enough football. That's why we've got nonstop football coverage on the free Odyssey app. Podcasts and live shows dedicated to every pro team. NFL play-by-play and enough game talk for the most diehard fans. Local radio stations talking football, interviews with star players and coaches, and football fans being fans.
What kind of play calling was that?
Listen to everything you love about football live and on demand with the free Odyssey app. Get in the game and download today.
Ready to improve your bottom line? The Room can match you with a top financial analyst. Trusted by small businesses, startups, and entrepreneurs, The Room's virtual financial analysts are highly trained, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and matched to fit your needs. Drive business growth with a virtual financial analyst from The Room. It's like listening to all the financial podcasts rolled into one. Get started today at trytheroom.com. That's trytheroom.com.
Odyssey knows that football fans can't get enough football. That's why we've got nonstop football coverage on the free Odyssey app. Podcasts and live shows dedicated to every pro team. NFL play-by-play and enough game talk for the most diehard fans. Local radio stations talking football, interviews with star players and coaches, and football fans being fans.
What kind of play calling was that?
Listen to everything you love about football live and on demand with the free Odyssey app. Get in the game and download today.
After Hours Podcast.
Miles Michaelis with 11 wins for the Cardinals, but he may be done. The 3-1 pitch to Pujols is hit on the ground, right side, base hit for Pujols. He breaks up the no-hitter in the top of the seventh inning. He goes the other way, and Albert with hit number 3,374 in his career gets a two-out single here in the seventh inning, and a nice round of applause here at Petco Park for their pitcher, Blake Snell, who has been terrific.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It wasn't home run number 699, but it was just as impressive from Albert Pujols. Instead of worrying about hitting his next historic home run, he decides to slap a single through the defense, the way that they were playing him. I don't think it was quite a shift, but the way that they were shifted, and he goes oppo and breaks up the, at that time, no-hitter being thrown by Blake Snell, in the seventh inning in San Diego. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. There was a big smile on his face. I saw that, to be sure. So sometimes a single is maybe not as valuable as a home run, but in this case, just as significant, just as important for the Cardinals, who get shut out in this game 1-0. So bigger picture, the Cardinals lose, the Brewers win. They actually throw a shutout against the New York Mets. And so that lead for the Cardinals is a little bit smaller this morning. 7.5 games, though. No panic button yet. This is not the Cincinnati Bengals. No panic button yet. But for Albert Pujols, just like Aaron Judge, I don't know. Producer Jay, who do you think is getting more attention right now? Because it honestly feels to me that more people are following the Aaron Judge pursuit of history than are following Albert Pujols, and that I do not get.
I would agree with you. I think the Aaron Judge chase is the bigger, kind of getting the more attention right now at the moment. I'm not really sure why, considering one guy's going for an all-time MLB record. And I guess the other one is kind of too, but
wait, all-time MLB record? No.
Not record, but 700. No. I mean, a milestone, I should say.
Yeah,
not
no,
record.
It's amazing. We may never see another hitter do this. And it's that baseball immortality, as I've been calling it. He would only be the fourth. I don't know. They think Aaron Judge is a cool story, and obviously there's a record there too, the American League home run mark, which is 61, and only 5 other guys in baseball history have ever had 60-plus home runs in a season. But Albert Pujols is a future Hall of Famer, is about to finish up his career in the next couple months, and is 2 away from 700. Maybe the next time he hits one. I don't know. It seems like he's hitting 1 a week right now. 1 or 2 a week is what we're at. And it always seems to happen on weekends. Why does it always seem to happen on weekends? We want it to happen whether it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights. So that's what we're rooting for, because we want to be on the air after it happens, as opposed to what happened, like the last one he hit was Friday, because I was in my house, in my room, packing for my early flight the next morning, and I had it on the radio. So that's how I heard it. We were not on the air that night. So I mean, it's selfish of me, of course, but I wanted it to happen in St. Louis, but they've only got 3 more games. 3 of their last 12 are in St. Louis, and I really wanted it to happen on a weeknight.
They do have a trip to L.A. coming up, which would, if it's not in St. Louis, I guess that's where he was right last year. Mm-hmm. And they did like him. He became kind of like a folk hero there for a little bit during that playoff run.
And the All-Star break was there,
right,
which is where he was part of the home run derby and was really showered with affection. So I would agree with that. That would be amazing. Could you imagine Cardinals Dodgers? That'd be so much fun for him to do it. If it can't be in St. Louis, that's a great point. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We found this snippet of a conversation that Albert did with Harold Reynolds of MLB Network, and it's reflective. And we know at this point he's being asked a lot about the history. He's being asked about his pursuit of 700. We know the time is coming to an end. He has said regardless of what happens, he is not going to play another year. He's done after this season. But you don't often get this deep of a reflection from Albert. We thought this was really cool.
If it's meant to happen, it's going to happen no matter what. So don't stress yourself.
You're playing with house money.
Yeah, like don't stress yourself. Like, hey, and if it doesn't happen, it wasn't meant to happen. I always say that if I have a open book blank with 1,000 pages, and the Lord will say, you know, I want you to write in this book how your life is going to be at 42 and what you're going to accomplish. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would have even come close to this. And that's what is so special.
How about that? He says, if the Lord gave me a blank book with 1,000 pages and told me to write what my life would look like at 42 years old, I never could have conjured up this. I never would have come up with this. This is not what I would have expected or anticipated how my life and my career would be at 42. I love that. That's one we have to keep for when he gets to 700. So Albert Pujols with Harold Reynolds on MLB Network. And we know Manny Machado absolutely adores Albert. He was part of that group of players at the All-Star break that just wanted to spend time around him. And, of course, right now San Diego is hosting the Cardinals and Albert.
Just what he's done. I mean, on the field, off the field. I mean, you could talk about everything he's done. He's a gentleman. He's obviously one of the best players to play on the field. But you know, just what he does for Dominican, what he's done for people, for kids, for families outside of baseball is you know, people, what you look up to, what you admire the most of him, and how good of a heart he has. So you know, he's just a person you want to be like. You obviously wish I got half of those numbers that he's put up and what he's done. You know, it'll be a hell of a career. You know, but then on top of what he's done for people outside, you know, off the field, it's even more incredible.
Manny Machado, just among those who are willing to tell you all about the impact that Albert Pujols has had on him personally in baseball. Think about the number of 40-something athletes that are all retiring right now. I don't know if we've ever had a run like this. Sue Bird, of course, of the Seattle Storm. We know Albert Pujols and Yadier Molina, potentially Adam Wainwright. Serena Williams, Roger Federer also retiring too at the same time. Man, we are losing an incredible group of athletes this year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
How's your mental health? I'm listening with Michael Phelps.
You know, I think for me in 2014, when I found myself in that dark, dark place where I didn't want to be alive in those 4 days when I was in my room by myself, after sitting there and thinking about everything, I wanted to find a different way. I wanted to find a different answer. I was sick and tired of feeling how I felt, and that's why I started to seek help, and that's when I checked myself into a treatment center.
More at imlistening.org. Talk saves lives.
Baseball. America's game.
Of the most dramatic moments in the history of sports.
It's about connection.
Leaps and makes the catch up against the wall.
And now, with Apple TV Plus, Friday Night Baseball.
She is gone.
Comes home. Friday Night Baseball, streaming on Apple TV+.
What would you do with an extra 20 hours a week? How about 40? Get part-time or full-time help with a virtual assistant from The Room. Trusted by entrepreneurs, executives, even busy families, The Room's virtual assistants are trained, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and matched to fit your needs. Work smarter, delegate more, and get your time back. You have a lot more podcasts to listen to. Visit trytheroom.com. That's trytheroom.com.
Odyssey knows that football fans can't get enough football. That's why we've got nonstop football coverage on the free Odyssey app. Podcasts and live shows dedicated to every pro team. NFL play-by-play and enough game talk for the most diehard fans. Local radio stations talking football, interviews with star players and coaches, and football fans being fans.
What kind of play calling was that?
Listen to everything you love about football live and on demand with the free Odyssey app. Get in the game and download today.